Activia offers a range of yogurts which are a delicious way to look after your gut health. From the fruit range with carefully selected ingredients to no added sugar and 0% fat offering, as well as a cereals range, there's an Activia for everyone. Made with a unique blend of 5 ferments, creating an irresistibly creamy texture, each pot of Activia is a source of calcium, making it the perfect addition to your daily routine. Activia helps support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins.
The annual Easy Living Furniture Roadshow Sale ends this Sunday. This is your last chance to save big, as absolutely everything is reduced across sofas, dining, bedroom and accessories. We've got everything you need to create the perfect living space with affordable prices and unbeatable quality. And with interest-free finance available, now really is the time to visit your local Easy Living Furniture store. Don't miss out. Find your local store online at easylivingfurniture.ie.
You're listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry, in association with Activia. Activia offers a range of yogurts that help support a healthy gut. Your gut is where it all begins. Welcome to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. In December 2021, Karen Kruger faced a daunting breast cancer diagnosis, enduring a prolonged and emotionally challenging journey. Karen discovered a mission in her own struggle, becoming a cancer coach. Drawing from her leadership development background, she empowers survivors, providing crucial emotional support often missed in conventional treatments. Karen's coaching focuses on self-compassion, mental health, and guiding individuals at any stage of their cancer journey. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Karen on the podcast in studio. Karen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Carl. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's a big introduction. No
it's
pressure.
Quite a mouthful.
Thank you for coming in, much appreciated. So let's get to know you a little bit, I think, first. That's the best thing. Let's get to know you and tell us a little bit about your cancer journey, if that's okay. It's very topical. It's frighteningly common. And I think it's brilliant to have someone on the show who, A, does what you do in terms of your coaching, but also who's been through such an ordeal.
Yeah, it is very common, sadly, very prevalent. So I'm one of the millions of women diagnosed with breast cancer every year. So yes, December 2021, I was getting ready for my youngest first birthday and found the lump in my left breast. And it was around COVID time, and it took a while to get an appointment with the doctor. And then it went through the rigmarole of getting tests with the hospital, St. Vincent's. And that was also a long waiting list with COVID and the backlog. So it was around the 4th of February by the time I was actually diagnosed. And originally they said, don't worry, you caught it early. This is great. You know, it's only 1 centimeter. It's, you know, you'll be fine. All good. Won't need that much treatment. We'll just go and do an MRI just to be sure about the location, etc. And then, yeah, it turned out to be 5 centimeters after a few different tests. So, yeah, that was incredibly a massive shock to the system, to all my family. I mean, I never struggled with my health my whole life. Never in hospital. Very fit and ate very well, didn't, you know, obviously drank, but not massive amount, never smoked. And yeah, just it was out of nowhere. So yeah, there was a lot of tests back and forth. They were amazing in there. The doctors and oncology nurse that gets assigned to your case, they were great. And then I had my operation. Yeah, there was lots of tests. And I think that period of time was really challenging for me, because I didn't have a lot of support when I was diagnosed. They told me and gave me leaflets and things like that. And I contacted a couple of cancer support centers, but I was so alone. I was so lost. And it was a long time before I could have my operation. They did some more tests. It was 2 months later then, the 4th of April, by the time I had my operation. And in that period of time, you know, 2 months is a long time for somebody who doesn't know whether they're living or dying. And that's really what it was. It felt like I was fighting for my life, really. And in that period of time to try and get through the day was... get through the nights actually were the hardest.
Of course, when things are quiet and it's dark and lonely.
when things are quiet and dark and lonely, everybody's asleep, your thoughts. Yeah, it was really hard. And it was only after I had my operation, which I had a mastectomy and an auxiliary clearance, which means they remove all the lymph nodes. Mm-hmm. It was only after I had the operation that they were telling me about Purple House, which is a fantastic support center, cancer support center down in Bray in Wicklow. I found out from the physio and, oh, they were just amazing. They were incredible. But I found that that period of time, you know, when I just got diagnosed and when I actually, you know, had my operation, there was no support for me. And that was really, really hard. So, yeah. And, you know, in that time, you know, you're having to carry on, you know, working and looking after the children and, you know, as if nothing's actually happening.
Life has to go on.
Life has to go on. Life is for the living. So, Luckily, I sort of came from a very good position in my mental health from that, you know, at that point. I never really, thank God, struggled with my mental health. I was very lucky. So I had a good starting point. So I was knocked down on that ladder quite significantly, but I wasn't too far from the bottom. And climbing back up that ladder was definitely easier for me. I know that. But having studied psychology and done a lot of work in that area, I always used to appreciate what people were going through, like depression and things like that. But I actually really understood now what it meant to be depressed and to struggle with those dark thoughts. And it was fascinating to actually live it and really, really go through it. You don't learn anything really as well as when you actually go through it yourself, isn't it?
Of course.
So, So that brings me up to the operation. And then after the operation, there was a bit of recovery time and I went into my chemo. I had 8 rounds of chemo. A lot of chemo and then 5 weeks of radiation. So that was not nearly as bad as the chemo. The chemo was horrific. But the radiation was every day in the car going into Vincent's and it takes time out of your day. And, you know, you want to get on at that point. You're finished sort of chemo mm-hmm. and you don't understand what's going on. So why do I have to actually continue going in? So that was 5 long weeks. Treatment went fine. I had a bit of a hiccup halfway through my treatment where I caught COVID and I was neutropenic. I caught an infection in the line that they put in. So I was in hospital for a week and nobody could come and see me because it was COVID. And yeah, so that was awful. But it's incredible how your body heals. I never anticipated how quickly I would recover and I did. And it was marvelous. So yeah, that brings me to the end of radiation. And then you're left. Off you go. You're done. And the nurse, when she took the line out of me in my chemo, she said, off you go now. And she was wonderful, a wonderful nurse. Don't think, you know, about too much about it. Just go on living, you know. And wow, it's
simple is probably the wrong word, but it's a very simple conversation after an incredible journey.
I know. And quite not a frivolous thing to say, but you know what I mean? It just was very interesting that she said something like that because really it wasn't. I couldn't let it go. It changes your life completely. You're never really the same again. We all evolve. So there is a theory that you're going to evolve anyway. But things are very different. You definitely have a different lens, for sure. You prioritize differently. Your health is different. Your negative thoughts are there. It's all can be very all consuming.
I can only imagine.
And then when you finish treatment, like I said, then that's it. They sort of just leave you off. And that's where I was quite confused about what to do. And where and what and how and why
and how long did it take you to come to terms with that it was you're on your own now from a medical perspective?
it took a good few months because physically you look fine. Okay, obviously my hair was growing back, so you know I didn't really have a whole lot of hair, so I didn't look great there, but everything else, you're done treatment, you're not you know, in the hospital every day. And people are like, great, so when are you going back to work? And I mean, people have the kindest intentions.
Of course. Yeah.
But yeah, people, why, you know, you should be happy, you know, you're finished and let's get going. And I'm always been a very determined person. So I was like, right, okay, so get back into the running and, you know, watch my eating and give up drinking. And, you know, so I had a whole list of things that I wanted to do and get going. And, you know, then Christmas hit and I got the most horrific chest infection. And I, you know, the way when you cough, and I got a sore muscle and I thought, no, it's come back in my bones. So I had to go for like a full MOT. It wasn't, it was just from coughing. But your mind,
of course,
doesn't stop going around and around and around. So it was, yeah, a good few months. And really, I felt like things just really started to turn last year, you know, around May time. I think really things started to settle for me and I really was starting to feel a bit more in tune with what it was that I needed to do with my future. My health was much better. I was stronger. I was doing a lot of resistance training, which I had never done before. I'd always done running and, you know, walking and things like that, which is all amazing, clearly. But the resistance training just added a different layer that I had never been exposed to before. So, yeah, good few months, Carl. You know, it takes a long time to realize that's it. So now what? You know, and oh, my soul, my next appointment is not for 6 months. Are you kidding me? You know, no, I need to have a scan right now. You know, so it's...
You have to learn to trust your body again.
You have to learn to trust your body and yourself. Yeah. Trust your body and be comfortable with your body again, which, is a work in progress. You know, that doesn't happen overnight or even in a 6 month period. It takes a while.
And there's a pressure to return to normal almost, isn't there?
Yeah, it is, because you look as though everything's fine. And, you know, that part of your brain, your mind talking to you saying you should be, you know, you should be this, you should be that, check you out, you're clear and look at all these other people and, you know, a bit of guilt going on and, you know, get on. The pressure mostly, you know, from myself. And then, yeah, of course, you know, you've got young kids and kids, you know, Machinola's there, fantastic when they look at you and they say like, mom's better, you know, she could do everything that she used to do, you know, and you're like, well, I need to rest. What? You don't need to rest. You're finished treatment, mom. What's going on? So, pressure from all angles, but it's just about managing that, I guess.
And then you decided to restart from a work perspective. Well, to add a new string to your bow from a work perspective.
Exactly, and add a new string. So I'd obviously always been in leadership development and I was in coaching the past about 4 or 5 years after finishing my diploma in it. So it was always something that I wanted to do, obviously outside of work, because I do the coaching during work. And I was very lost when I reflected back. I was very lost when I finished my treatment. There was a lot of fad diets before my treatment, after my treatment. There's so much information out there, so many Instagram and do this and do that and websites telling you this and studies telling you that. And I love to read, so I just read so much and became so overwhelmed. You know, whatever they say, information paralysis, so much stuff going on. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. So I felt, you know what, let's just get your head in the right space here, Karen. You know, you have skills in this area. Why don't you look at, you know, possibly going down this route and helping people that don't have a huge amount of support? And in this area, obviously, there's loads of support from a cancer support center perspective. You've got, I mean, the likes of Purple House were quite remarkable. They've reflexology, they've obviously therapy, reflexology, Reiki, acupuncture, incredible physio down there, and a gym. And I mean, that's not just Purple House. There's lots of support centers that offer that type of thing. And they were amazing. I actually would be lost had I not had that after I finished treatment, because they are that support from when you leave the hospital to getting back to life, for want of a better way of saying it. So, but I just felt that there was, I needed somebody to give me focus and filter out an awful lot of the misinformation that was out there. And somebody who'd been through it before and who had, been through it before and experienced mm-hmm. all the, you know, like I said, you don't really experience and understand something unless you've lived through it yourself. You can definitely relate, and you have experts and they're amazing and there's doctors and this and so much information out there. But from my perspective, I felt like, you know, when I finished treatment, I needed help to motivate me in the right way and channel my energy in the right direction. And I didn't have that. So I was helter-skelter. I was, you know, yeah. And I just needed one person to say, okay, so you want to get fit? Okay, well, let's get in touch with Carl Henry, or you want to do this, you know, nutrition, speak to a nutritionist. Yeah. And, you know, you want to, so you just need somebody to look at you holistically and say, okay, I know how you can do this, and let's break down these goals into sort of mm-hmm. Sustainable actions, you know, that are easy to achieve. So how does
coaching work then? So talk me through the process of it.
It's very similar to your standard coaching. So I'm helping somebody sift through an awful lot of the fog that's in their mind, and create those sustainable actions that they can slowly work on and create sense of clarity. And it can relate to a whole multitude of things, you know, between navigating the menopause for women after they've finished treatment. It can be trying to figure out a better sense of well-being, a better sense of mental health. It can be, what work do you want to do? You know, a lot of people change jobs and things like that after they finish treatment. And just trying to feel like they can gain a bit of inner strength and get themselves back to the way they used to be, at least as much as they can, and as close to it as possible. So the coaching provides that safe space and that, you know, area, that safe space for them to really reflect on and make sense and create a plan and provide that bit of motivation that a lot of people struggle with, especially coming out of something as horrific as cancer treatment.
And do you find it rewarding?
It is very rewarding. Absolutely. I mean, I've always really enjoyed working with people mm-hmm. on an individual basis. So to see that progress.
And this may seem like a strange question, but do you find it very different from coaching in the corporate world?
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's from a different context. It is a very different context. And yeah, you have. Yeah, it's a different way of looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got real challenges when somebody comes out of a cancer. And I suppose with respect, you have real challenges also in the business. So it's a different context, but a different perspective. It's very rewarding. And, you know, if you can just help one person, I'm sure in your line of work, it's the same. If you can make a difference with just one person, it's quite remarkable. So I really, really enjoy it.
What are some of the common examples that cancer patients kind of struggle with post diagnosis?
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, I suppose the strong one is fear of cancer recurrence.
Of course, yeah.
It's confusion about how do I eat? How do I eat healthy? Although I'm not a nutritionist, I certainly can point them in the right direction and have those conversations and create that clarity.
Because social media is full of
a lot of stuff,
frightening information.
It's full of a lot of frightening information.
Of course, it is. Yeah.
So. Fear of recurrence, wanting to do things differently because, you know, maybe the stress that I had before has contributed, mm-hmm. might not cause, but contributed to the health situation. So how do I manage that stress? So the coaching will do that, will help come up with strategies and practices and new ways of living to help manage that stress, anxiety around scan anxiety. A lot of different things. And like I was saying, work-related stuff as well. So how do I navigate work, knowing all the new information and being a new person really to what I...
And presumably, the coaching process takes time.
Of course.
It doesn't happen within a week. It doesn't happen or whatever. It's an evolving process.
Yeah, you're creating new practices. So it's not just about exploring the mind, which there's a huge aspect to the coaching is where you do find, you know, you need to explore your mind. You need to understand where I came from to where I am now. Because then when you're creating actionable goals that have to match mm-hmm. the individual. So you've got this whole exploration aspect, which takes time. And then you've got now creating new practices that they have to put into action. And if they're not putting those into action enough, then it doesn't solidify, doesn't, you know, create a new way of living. So, yeah, it takes a while. It takes time. But any help you can, you know, I just find like clients just really enjoy the process of talking things out and mm-hmm. finding that clarity.
Well, you're providing a safe space. Mm. That, you know, can often be so confusing. And even in the home environment, I'm sure, for clients post-diagnosis and post-treatment, that you provide a very safe space for them with someone who's been through the process and give them the space to be able to feel whatever way they're feeling.
Yeah, because, you know, I suppose when you finish treatment or active treatment, you know, you might be not tired of talking about it to your family or friends, but you also want to move on. You don't want to have to keep talking about it mm-hmm. all the time, but yet to move on, you need to still address things. So,
of course. Mm. Tell me about the Gift of Time fundraising campaign.
So, I work as I'm helping the Breast Cancer Ireland as an ambassador for them. So they contacted me last summer about it. And I've written in my story to Breast Cancer Ireland, and they wanted to use that as inspiration for the Gift of Time ad campaign. And Nikki contacted me about that. So it was designed around my story, which I had reflected on one night in, when I was telling you, in between that period of diagnosis. I couldn't sleep. I was very upset. I didn't know where the cancer had gone. And I remember, just as you do, go and look at your children as they're sleeping. And I stood, you know, crying, devastated at what the future holds, unknown, that terrible unknown, not knowing what's going to happen. And I wrote that in the story, and, you know, it worked for them and the campaign that they needed. So they created that ad. Mind you, she looked a hell of a sight better than I did at the time. But I think it was great. And they were quite successful. They raised quite a lot. I have no idea how much they raised, but they raised an awful lot of money out of it. So and no doubt there's more campaigns coming down the track. So every little helps. So, yeah.
It's been wonderful to have you in studio. And
thank
listen to
you,
your
Carl.
Story. It's people are fascinating and their backgrounds are fascinating. I think
thank
that
you.
By going through something, you've something that no degree can ever teach, but you can match that with a psychology degree, and then you've turned that into a business, which is fantastic. If people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, so KarenKrugerCoaching.com and then Instagram, which I am slowly building up. Karen Cancer Coach is my name on Instagram.
Instagram, social media can be a pain, but it's important that in the same sentence.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, you've been through it, from when you go through the process of what you've been through, you look online for, and there's so much nonsense. There's so much nonsense out there for all of us that safe spaces in the social media world are good too. So,
yeah, people need stuff to relate to, right? They need to know. That's certainly something that I wanted as well. When you go through it, you try to find yourself and other people mm-hmm. immediately. So it helps. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming
in. Thank you, Carl.
For sharing your story. And I think people will get a huge amount from it. Folks, you've been listening to Real Health with me, Carl Henry. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. As ever, you know where we are, at Carl Henry PT on Instagram, realhealth@independent.ie. A fascinating episode. I'm sure you will absolutely agree. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Slán go fóill.